It is so sad what's happening. But it can happen to us just because we know the correct doctrine, just because we have a correct vision, just because we have an understanding doesn't mean it won't happen to us. We've got to have that determination and that passion to do God's will. God has a will for our life. He has a plan for our life. He has a reason for us being here. You know, we weren't just conceived and thrown in the world here for no reason. God put us here. God has a plan for our life. And it's up to us to choose every day to get into that path, to get on that road, to get in that plan that he has for us. And our future place in the kingdom is going to be based on how much we get into that road, how much of that path we're on, how much of those works that he has ordained for us from before the foundation of the world we have actually yielded to and come forth in. And that's heresy to 99% of the churches. You go teach the kind of doctrine to anybody in the church, they'll tell you, I don't know what to call you, like probably a Catholic or something or just a heretic. But that's the way it is. That's what the scripture teaches. So my encouragement tonight would be to ask God to give us that determination to do God's will, to understand that there's a purpose for us in this earth. We're not just here by chance, by happenstance, and we're just trying to, you know, cobble a life together here and have Jesus keep it together for us and let the devil steal it. God has a purpose for us being here. He has works for us to do here in this life. And based on those works, we have a destiny in the kingdom. And it's very easy to destroy everything just by doing our own will. Just seeking our own thing every day. You can be a Christian and pray and read the Bible, listen to Christian music, listen to Christian sermons, be very religious and not do God's will hardly ever. And you're destroying your own destiny by doing that. Many Christians are destroying their destiny. They're true Christians, but they're not doing God's will. They're not doing what he has prepared for them. They're not entering into his rest. They're not getting onto that path that he has prepared for them. And not running the race. And they're going to be weeping and gnashing their teeth when the day comes. And I'm hoping and encouraging us not to do the same thing. Now, we can't know everything. We don't know everything up front. But as you have that determination to yield, and you have that burning desire to yield, that puts your mind in the right frame where you can start hearing the Lord's voice. See, if you don't want to yield, if your main desire is to have God give you what you want and have God bless it, your mind's on the wrong track, your whole heart and spirit's on the wrong wavelength. You're never going to hear God. First, we got to get our mind on the right track where the will of God is everything. God has works for me to do. God has a plan for my life. I want to fulfill it now, and I want to fulfill it then in the kingdom. And you get your mind set that way, and your heart set that way, and determination and your will set that way, then when the choices come up every day, it's a lot easier to discern what God's will is, and it's a lot easier to choose God's will over our own. So that was on my heart today, because I know some people are having problems. And it really is based on their own will. They have a desire, they have a goal, they have an agenda, they have things they want, and they can't lay it down, and God can't bring them into the works, into the destiny that he has for them in this life, which is going to provide their place in the kingdom. Everybody's going to be judged according to their works. That's said in almost every book of the Bible. You can't get away from it. See, and the works we're going to be judged on is whether we've entered into his rest. And those works are going to give us our destiny. Can you see what I'm saying there? Okay, anyway, well, that was my exhortation for tonight. Doing God's will above our own. It's very important. You can be a Christian and not do God's will. And if that's the case, we're going to lose everything God has for us. Just like the Hebrews lost the land. Amen. That was about it. Just some encouragement. Ask God to give us that determination, that desire to do his will. To enter into his works that he has planned for us. Amen. And who has something to share here? Looks like Mama has something.
Hi, everyone. Boy, what a nice, lovely room this is we have here. Thanks to the guys who worked hard on it. I feel the Lord spoke a scripture to my heart this week. And as I meditated over it and read the context of it, I realized that this scripture was referring to the end of this age, in which I definitely feel we are living. And the scripture is found in Joel. It's Joel 3:14. It says, "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision." And in Joel 3, the prophet Joel was talking about the time that God would bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem. He said God will gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there. for his people Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted his land. Now, during this time, Joel said this scripture, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. And I was thinking of the people who heard this word about the end time, about going on to perfection and dying to ourselves that Christ might come forth in us, standing as a candidate to be part of the two witness company that God will call forth and give special power on the earth just prior to his second coming. And some have accepted this and embraced the words, embraced them, and endeavored to walk in this calling and these truths. And some, it seems, have turned their backs on it and walked away. And I believe that there are multitudes that are in the valley of decision right now, if not multitudes, many. I've lived quite a few years and saw many accept this truth and many reject it. We are all making choices these days. I believe very shortly we will all be wholeheartedly on one side or wholeheartedly on the other side. We will little by little be accepting the mark of the beast, or we will take a strong stand against it through the blood of the Lamb, the word of his testimony, and loving not our lives unto the death. You know, God's people have always made choices. When Moses came down from the mountain after receiving two tablets of the law and saw that the Israelites dancing naked before the golden calf, he stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." And they had to make a choice. And only the tribe of Levi responded. And that day the tribe of Levi slew 3,000 men, because they were told to take their sword and go through and kill their relatives, their companions, and their friends. And they faithfully did. And I believe this was one of the qualifications that made them the priests of Israel, that God chose the tribe of Levi to be for the children of Israel. And when Joshua brought the children of Israel into the land of their inheritance, he said, "Choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether it be the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Again, they had to make a choice. And we today have to make a choice. We will choose and faithfully serve the Lord Jesus Christ, or we will compromise with the enemy. We are making choices, and the choices will only be getting harder in the days ahead. This week I received a letter from Robert Thompson with an article in it called A Prophet to the Nations. And I'm just going to read a few excerpts from that, because it was an excellent article. He wrote that every saint is a prophet to the world. The role of a prophet has to do with a person who stands in the presence of God and announces the will of the Lord. He goes on to say that there are members of the body of the Messiah who have been called by the Spirit of God to the office of prophet. Their role is to declare to all men the person, holiness, way, and will of God. It is true also that in terms of bearing the presence and will of God to the nations of the earth, every saint of God is a prophet. There are gifts of prophecy in the body, while at the same time, the entire body is the light of the world, the prophet of God among the nations. Some ministries tend to be more people-oriented than is true of the prophet. The prophet, however, is on the Lord's side. Sometimes he is on the Lord's side against most or all of the Lord's people. He stands with God against the people. We see this in the ministries of Elijah, Ezekiel, and Jeremiah. The church must have prophets today. Will you stand in the gap before the Lord and build up the wall that separates the holy from the unholy? Will you stand in the presence of the Lord and proclaim His word without compromise or hesitation, whether people enjoy it or whether they do not? God always has a present truth, a prophetic word that is directed towards specific people, specific periods of time. It is a task, the responsibility, the joy, the glory of God's true servants, His elect, to declare that faithfully and accurately to their generation. There is a word, a burden of the Lord to our generation. The elect are privileged to bear the burden of the divine word and to declare it according to the gift of grace that has been given each individual. For the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. Now this is Jeremiah 1:10. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. This was a weighty charge to give. Notice that God must pull down before He can build and plant. Sometimes when we seek the Lord, our problems increase. Why is that? It is because God is preparing to build and plant what we have desired. But first of all, He must tear down and destroy what is hindering His work in our life. God often wounds before He heals. Jeremiah's commission was both negative and positive. The prophet must declare what the Lord is speaking, whether people say amen, enjoying and approving what we are saying, or whether they seek to kill us or merely ignore us. None of this must ever move us from doing the Lord's perfect will. The prophets of the scripture were not popular. They were not administrators of large groups of worshipers. They were hated more often than not. They were threatened. They were abused and scorned. They were killed. It is no different today. A true prophet is never popular in his generation. So I just was very, very blessed with that. And whoever I shared that with this week was very blessed with it. And so I just wanted to share you a little of that. And that's about it. Shalom.
Amen. Thank you. That was a good word, Ma. Brother Joey's up next.
Okay. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Mom. That was awesome. And Dan, that was a very good message. My heart was leaping listening to your message there. Anyway, this is kind of like a conclusion of what I shared concerning Jacob, concerning going on to perfection. It was based on that Genesis chapter 35, 1-5. Jacob's obedience to depart from Shechem was a part of their sanctification before God as they followed the Lord to go wherever He was calling them to be, which clearly mandated them to make sure they put away all their foreign gods and they were to change their garments and be clean in order to go to Bethel where God was calling them. It says, they, the people that were with him, gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand and all their earrings which were in their ears. The ramifications and the consequences of having spiritual jewelries that people decorate themselves with today in the spirit of this world, which are idols of riches and the entanglements of the cares of this life, open themselves up to demons that perverts their view of who God is and His ways, ending up in spiritual troubles, all kinds of troubles. Some, in fact, many, has eventually become followers of a different Jesus, which is a reality, especially in the times of great deception we are living in the midst of today. And so in this passage, I've been getting some, you know, kind of personal encouragement for myself that I kind of thought it's applicable to the call to go on to perfection. And so hopefully somebody gets blessed. It is not only in Jacob's desire to obey the Lord to go on to Bethel, but also in his tenacious determination to deal with all the strange gods and idols in his walk with the Lord in order to be clean before God, that he cut off those idols to its roots and place them where they need to be. The text declares, Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And so I think one of the reasons why people keep their bondages and besetting sins, being possessed and oppressed by demons, is because they have not yet determined in their minds and hearts to make a decision to deal seriously and desperately with God by placing these things under the oak to its roots and keep them there where they belong without touching them ever again, choosing to forsake them and be determined to not touch any of these unclean things. We should have the attitude that rises us up in the spirit to declare, Lord, I recognize and identify the very nature of my problems, and I will go wherever you want me to go. I will do whatever you want me to do. I will lose whatever you want me to lose in order to pay the price of getting to the bottom of these things so I can deal with them your way and to leave them behind and let go of whatever it is that you require of me to forsake and to separate from them in order that I may take a hold of what you've ordained for me. We should be able to say, Lord, I want to be free in walking and obtaining the things you have for me in the high calling of God, your way and not my way. So I believe the Lord is asking us to be desperate and to be tenacious as a part of our difficult journey of pressing on to go to Bethel by doing things His way, seeking His help and deliverance His way, so we can ultimately become a part of God's holiest temple in whom He is pleased to manifest on and to abide in, where His glory will finally dwell within a perfect tabernacle He has made with His very own hands. Now, for those who's moving forward to go higher in the Lord, they absolutely know that this type of walk is not a cruise ship experience. It is not a relax and recreation. They know that it is all about warfare against the lust of the flesh and the so-called innocent Christianized desires and wills of the Adamic soul that keeps trying to resurrect itself daily to fulfill the will of the self-life. It's a daily fight of choosing between the Adamic life or the life of the Son of God. And unhappily, like what Dan has always been saying, he says you must live in reality in order to place demons where they need to be, in order to put down any forms of idolatries, in order to even begin to fight, much less overcome the lust of the flesh. It is vitally necessary to live in the reality concerning our spiritual state and admit our abominations before God instead of living in self-deception and willful ignorance of our spiritual condition because of our self-justification, being a wimpy coward and unbelieving towards the corrections and the exhortations and the rebukes of God when the Holy Ghost warns us guilty as charged. Guilty of being an idolater, guilty of being an adulterer, spiritual fornicator, lover of money, lover of ego, lover of career, lover of hobbies, lover of things and possessions, cars, guilty of being prideful and arrogant, lover of this world, being a liar, being lukewarm, lover of your talents and gifts and skills, lover of self more than being lovers of God, and many other such things that are in our Adamic makeup that demons take advantage of, that places people under powerful bondages and curses. And to keep things in proper perspective, we ourselves alone are guilty and responsible for our wicked practices and defilements in our lives, and there is no one else to blame. The devil, though he is a part of the falling of sinful man, the devil is, but in the end, it is ourselves alone to be charged and be blamed, because our judgment will be based on our own choices and decisions. Our judgment will not be based on the devil or other wicked people. It will be according to our own works alone, measured by His righteousness and His holy standards according to the living Word of God. And so the Lord desires that we face our problems and issues that's defiling our garments to their roots, and not just the symptoms, lest we keep going back around the same mountain over and over again, which includes many unnecessary losses and pain and sorrow that God never intended for us simply because of our stupidity and foolishness. It says, the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. This is in Genesis 35, verse 5. Another big part of why people cannot go on higher in God is because by their love for the things of the flesh and for this temporal life. They have given the people of the world and their demons access to them. They are pursued by demons. They are pursued by wicked children of this world because they have so much identifications with them. Their lives do not cause fear and terror against demons and worldlings. Christians are partaking of the same idols and strange gods as that of the Shechemites or unbelievers. Therefore, they become too entangled, snagged and strangled. Therefore, they are stuck with the people of the cities and tribes of all the Canaanites. Therefore, they cannot even properly embark a journey to go on to perfection or to go on to Bethel. Instead of being separate, they are marrying Canaanite wives. They are marrying Canaanite husbands who are lovers of the things of this age and worshipers of the God of this world. Can't let go of certain business partnerships, no matter how much the Holy Ghost has been dealing with their conscience, etc. They live by the principles of the world in education, occupation, or in their careers, amusements, and entertainments that defile their spiritual life, even to a point of deserving to be vomited out of the mouth of God. Revelation chapter 3, it says, "Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see." There are people out there who profess to be outside of Babylonish Christianity, but they have stopped or maybe even never paid any price in the first place in order to keep moving on with God to be cleansed. It is not enough to come out from Babylon. God is calling those who has ears to hear not just to come out from Babylon, but to come out in order to enter in to where God dwells, where we are under the complete government of the Father and walk in the nature and character and likeness of His Son Jesus Christ. It says in Exodus chapter 19, it says, "You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and an holy nation." God's goal is not just so we can be born again and come out of Egypt or the world. Not just so we can come out of the Babylonish church system. God's goal is for us to continue to be in His cleansing program so we can give Him glory and the pure worship He deserves in the likeness of the way Jesus served and worshiped the Father in spirit and in truth. But the only way we can let Him do that is that we must continue to be in the business of the Father and continue to pay the price from one level to another as we are being invited by His Son to buy gold refined by fire. You know, because of the way the economy is right now, it's going down, the dollar is going down, and there's a lot of talk about buying gold, but, you know, the world is buying the wrong gold. You know, even the church is buying the wrong gold. They're buying the corruptible gold. Instead of buying the gold, by paying the price, by dying to self, and buy that gold from Jesus, which is His character, His nature. So anyway, to purchase, this is what God wants us to do, is to purchase garments washed in His blood, and to walk in His righteousness. We must be ready to get up and go, and follow the plot of God by day, and the pillar of fire by night. Follow the Lamb whithersoever He goes. Unfortunately, many will have come out of the system of churchianity, but because they refuse to go on with God, but rather choose a comfortable place where doing business with the Father is no longer a part of their spiritual investment. They become investors of this world, becoming consumers for themselves until they themselves are fully consumed. Consumed by the world, consumed by demons, ending up dying in the wilderness where their bodies will be scattered among those who turn back to perdition. But in closing, I want to thank the Lord for Jacob as a very good example of obedience for all of us and along with those who put away all their abominations today, will receive help in their time of need as they live in reality and be honest with God and with themselves and say, Lord, you know me inside and out. You know that I am a lover of this life, lover of self, prideful, and I admit that I am not paying the price to get to a higher place in you. And if I don't change my ways now, I will be in grave danger that can lead me to my very own in hell. Jacob, who was a deceitful, crafty man, has become a changed man who made himself clean, who put away his strange gods along with those who were with him. Jacob, who properly responded to go on to perfection as to where God was calling him in the spirit, was granted a new name, Israel, who changed his garments by the way he lived honestly and in integrity before God in reverence and godly fear, and along with those who cleanse themselves in the fear of God today. They will therefore change their garments as they depart and forsake Shechem, cutting off all entanglements of the flesh and spirit. They will follow the Lord to a higher ground in the spirit and worship God in the beauty of his holiness, being undefiled in white garments as the Lord's army of overcomers. Amen. Good night.
Amen. Good word, Joey. Good word. Looks like we got, next up is Cameron, Brother Cameron.
Hello, everyone. It's been pretty busy around here, finishing Dan's office and putting some final touches on the barn and preparing for the arrival of Brother Rich. Also keeping in tune with the things heating up around the world, with Israel between a rock and a hard place and numerous amount of protesters and riots around the nation and whispers of world war and possible Bible prophecies going to be fulfilled, as well as the world having unheard of weather events, I would like to say to everyone, buckle up for the ride of our lives. Praise the Lord, we live in exciting times. Alright, so I would like to share something with you all that the Lord has shown me. A couple of days ago, I was at the post office, and for no apparent reason, the brake line on my truck blew. And I was like, ugh, why did that have to happen? I thought, well, my truck has high miles, and it was probably time for that to blow anyway. But then I thought, maybe there's a different reason this happened. And let me tell you, it was a different reason. I won't go into the details of the situation, but I will say that I was not doing the will of the Lord and evidently missed any previous checkings he gave me. Therefore, he got my attention by other means. So I was thinking, when things break down, we always say, oh, it was time for that thing to break. Or suppose you had an electrical fire and your house burnt down. We would say, oh, somebody must have wired up an outlet wrong. Therefore, my house burnt down. But perhaps, guys, when things like this happen, we shouldn't be so quick to brush it aside without understanding a possible bigger meaning. Is it possible that when things break down or when other things of the sort happen, that it is because God is trying to show us spiritually or in the natural? I believe God covers and protects a lot of our possessions we use for his service. And when he can't get a message through us by a small checking, or through our other brethren, he must take more serious measures and start having things break down to get our attention. Now, that is definitely not the case with all things. Sometimes things like that happen just because it's an attack from the devil, or sometimes things do just get old and break. But we should always be alert when unnatural events happen and ask ourselves, just why did that happen? Thank you all. That's all I had to share.
That's good. Very good. That's right. Amen. Looks like Seth is up next. Seth has something to share. Hang on.
Thank you, Dan. That was a good message tonight. Wanted to share something with y'all. One of the things we've been hearing today is people saying we need to put differences of doctrine behind and what we think behind us and become one so that we can have unity. We were reading Corinthians, and I found a verse that I didn't know about. It was 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. After reading that, I decided to look closer to see what else I could find the Bible had to say about having fellowship together, and I found 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. And Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And Philippians 2, chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. This also made me remember something A.W. Tozer said in a book I read, quote, 100 worshipers meeting together, each one looking away to Christ, are in heart nearer to each other than they could possibly be were they to become unity, conscience, and turn their eyes away from God and strive for closer fellowship. Instead of putting doctrinal differences behind us, as most are demanding today, we need to be like what it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 through 25. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. We need to hold fast to the doctrine of Jesus Christ and the apostles taught, for if just one person in a group believes some errors, like not being able to become perfect and the message of death to self, while everyone else believes both, that person can and will cause strife, and in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 14, it says, the beginning of strife is like releasing water, therefore stop contention before a quarrel starts, and that was from the New King James Version. And Galatians 5:9, which you all know, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. At the end of a song I heard, it says, come, Lord Jesus, draw your sword, sound the trumpet, show them your Lord, for these are the days of both love and war. There is love and unity or oneness for those that are obeying what the Lord says and doing his will, but it is also a time for war on anything and everything that is not of the Lord. Well, that was all. Thanks.
Good word there, Seth. Very good. All right. Well, how about anybody in the room? Anybody in the room here got anything to share? Anybody in the chat room? Okay, well, I guess nobody has anything to share. It's nice to see y'all. We're looking forward to Rich and Judy. Rich and Judy are going to come out here to be here this coming Saturday evening. We're looking forward to a few days of them. James says, time to start laboring. Amen, James. Anybody have anything to share before we close it down? Well, thanks for coming, y'all. Hope you got blessed tonight, or encouraged, or challenged. Time's getting short, so let's be serious for the Lord. And we'll see you next week, I guess. God willing, and the river don't rise.